I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today, closing out John's picks, it's Nick Bombacino. Woo!
Woo! Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Everybody, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was just, speaking of musicals, I was just in Chicago doing a workshop. Well, barely a workshop. We had like two rehearsals. So like sort of a table read of a new musical that I'm composing.
That you teased during Across the Universe.
I did. So maybe near the end of the show, I'll talk a little bit more about it since, you know, there are people other than myself now who have heard it.
And we're here today to talk about a TV series that I don't think a lot of people have heard of. It's called Soundtrack. It was created by Joshua Safran. Music and lyrics by various artists, and it was released on Netflix originally on December 18th, 2019, which is now currently on Hulu, but I don't know where it's going to be in the future.
Good question.
And let's see, what does IMDb say about it? According to IMDb, music connects the lives of random people living in Los Angeles. Okay, usually when this month when I was picking things, you know, there was a reason, and I would like to say that it was because of the mashups in this, that's why I picked you, but really, it was when we were planning the live episode, I was like, do you want to do this? Because I want to do this, and you went, cool. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they have mashups in there.
They do have mashups. So my little quick recap that I wrote down, I hate the IMDb summary. It's kind of like the last 5 years, but a jukebox musical where the actors are lip sync to the actual song, and her story starts in the past to catch up with the present of the first episode. Because you know, in the last 5 years, it's like,
yeah. They move in opposite directions.
Hers is going backwards and his is going forwards. In this one, they're both going forward, but in two different timelines.
In two different times, yeah.
Yeah. And we follow a cast of characters, and they're all intertwined into this one story that at the end of the first episode, it's supposed to be like a big reveal. Like, oh, she's in the past. Did you feel like that was a big reveal, or could you tell?
I called it. I didn't know right away. I knew something was up as soon as they had her and Jenna Dewan in the same shot. And I was like, something doesn't, because, you know. So I knew something was up, and then I called it a little earlier. And also, like, Eleanor and Nellie are, like, you know, one's a nickname. You know,
yeah.
Nellie is a nickname for Eleanor. So, like, yeah, it was... It was a reveal. I didn't call it right away, but yeah.
And each episode has like 4 to 5 songs. I'm looking. Well, moments, because then there's the mashup, which obviously incorporates 2 songs. Like Both Sides Now, where it's 3 different people, but I don't know who the other 2 voices are. Because the shitty thing about the show is that when they, at the end credits, they don't credit the songs.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
I had to find a Spotify playlist to find all the names of these songs.
Yeah.
Like, which how did they use.
Yeah. That's just crazy. Yeah, and I mean, some episodes I think had more songs than others. There were definitely some where it was like, there hasn't been a song this whole episode, and we're halfway through, you know.
You're right, actually. There is one episode with only 1 song in it.
Yeah, it's smack in the middle. It's something like
It's
episode six or
Je
seven. I forget
Joanna
which.
and Eleanor. It's the fast, low disco that Eleanor sang. It's hard to
Right,
say
right.
singing in
You
this.
can't. No, they didn't sing it.
But what do you think?
I have strong feelings.
Okay, that's actually my question.
Yeah.
What do you, how do
So
you feel about the
one of my
concept?
strong feelings. Right, I'm gonna have some hot takes. Welcome to my
Go.
hot take brunch. This is my hot take diner.
I'm ready.
It seemed like a good concept that should have just sort of stayed a concept in some ways, in that, like, and I don't want to say it felt like appropriation, but, like, as you know, being members of the queer community, we know that lip syncing is a huge thing for, like, drag queens and performers, and, like, it's part of that culture. So this, there was a little bit of a, like, are straight people trying to do this? Like, well, we want our shot, but we're going to do it our way, which is incredibly reductive, of course. But it was sort of like an incredible absence of queer presence in a show about LA in the 2000s. Like,
Oh, yeah,
there was
totally.
the gay character and his stereotypical, like, her best friend, who's the best friend of the gay. What was his name? Troy and Gigi. And it was like, that was it. And it's, I didn't feel like I got my, I know I'm kind of jumping around going out of order, but I didn't feel like I got my queer influence until we had the I Will Always Love You mashup with the Dolly version and the Whitney version, which I actually really liked. And that was like, okay, this is clever. And this is like doing something with this concept, because otherwise it was like, I just didn't understand why. I mean, on the one hand, I do. Okay, so I understand the concept and I understand why they chose to do it. But in a show that's about a musician and about artists who are creating art and dancing, I was just baffled as to, like, why you didn't have it be original music. Like, we got like 2 seconds of his original music throughout the series, and it was just like, I feel like you could have done this as a musical, and you just didn't want to spend the time writing the song?
Or because you already
Yeah.
paid for it, have them sing it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like
So,
hire triple threats. Like you have Jenna
right.
Dewan, whose dancing is grossly underused in this.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, when it was used really well,
Yeah,
but like,
that audition sequence, I was like, fuck
well,
yes, we want more of
the audition
this.
sequence was amazing, and her, the girl in a box, moment
Oh, yeah.
where she dances with herself. That was cool. And that was a great use of her dancer.
I think that's Crash and Burn Girl.
Crash and burn, yeah.
But yeah,
Well,
I
girl
was.
in a box, in that she was in a box. She
No,
was, you know,
yeah, but I'm saying the
being,
song
that was her
was
job. Yeah.
Crash. Oh my
Yes,
God, that
crash and
was.
burn.
But I feel like if you're gonna do a musical show, hire people who can sing. I
Yeah,
it was an
because
interesting and I agree with you. It's interesting in concept, but like, okay, in reality though, this is supposed to be their version of the song. This is how they hear it, you know, or what they're
right.
expressing. 'Cause the
Yeah,
their
like Zoe's extraordinary playlist.
yeah, I was gonna say like their individual playlists are all over the place. When you
Right.
really like I kept track because I'm insane. And like, you know, you can pick apart things like Annette has a lot of like 60s influence songs.
Yeah.
Gigi has a lot of classic Hollywood in her episode. But
Yeah.
and she's the musical person. Like I was just like, wait, why are we having her sing songs from musical or lip sync songs from musicals? I don't get it. She never expressed her love of musicals.
Right.
I mean, we get that she has a vintage style, but it's not, she's also trying to be in with the in crowd. So wouldn't she be more top 40s or indie or something?
Or Cyndi Lauper. I mean, she just has Cyndi Lauper energy
Oh my God, yes.
to me. Yeah.
But also, like, this show only got one season and then it was immediately canceled. And I was just like, what would you do with season two? I mean, you told the story.
Well, you, yeah, I mean, I guess as you go on, I kind of feel like I'm curious because I feel like they probably found out that they weren't getting a second season near the end of the first season, so they had to wrap it up.
True.
And you know, like put it in a place where the story could go on, but like, yeah, it was sort of like, well, what you only tell the future now, or then you keep getting some flashback, you know, I don't know.
But it was fascinating to watch, 'cause like when they did the fuck, what is that name of the song? My brain isn't working right now. I Will Always Love You. So I watched this, I believe, during the pandemic the first time, like just scrolling through Netflix looking for something to pass the time. And when we got to this episode, it's the penultimate episode, and they do that, I was bawling my eyes out because I was just like, you got it, you understand. Because like those first few episodes were rough, and like
Yeah, they
it's a thing
were.
with the first season of a show, of course it's going to be rough, but like with something so high concept like this, I feel like you need it a little tighter.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it was shot out of order, so it's not like they waited and found this out, you know,
Right.
like close to the end of filming. But it's like, yeah, I felt the same way. Like when I got to that number, I was like, okay, finally. If you had started with this, I would have been more on board, because it's like, you know, doing a mashup for a reason, you know, or like there was a, you know, that concept was, I think, the best developed concept, not just of their mashups, but also like of the numbers. I mean, the other number that I really liked the concept of, and I thought that if they had done more like this, it would have been a little better, was the big time number where her dad goes around pitching everybody.
Oh yeah, we're because
Because it was super stylized, but like in the moment, you know, it, I don't know, that one worked for me.
the
But
weird thing about the show is like it totes the line of reality and fantasy, and like that one is when they geared more into the fantasy, the big time,
yeah.
I should say, where like the others are supposed to be like a snapshot into their head. And this is what they're imagining, because it's not
Yeah.
when they burst out into song, it's not like in a musical where it keeps the momentum and the action going. It's like, no, now we're doing an aside, and we're gonna understand how they feel by having them lip
Right.
sync. I mean, it's interesting because like, you know, you have this whole time jump where we know that. I should probably put a spoiler at the beginning of this in case anyone. I mean, it's 5 years old at this point, but still.
Spoiler,
Spoiler,
spoiler alert.
we know Eleanor is dead. So now we're like, how does she die? And we have to wait 10 episodes to find out. And she's an artist who's writing a comic book or graphic novel, excuse me, graphic novel that, okay. How long did it take you to realize that the format of the show is a combination of Eleanor and Sam's professions?
I think it was, it took me, I knew that it was about Sam's profession, or at least I thought it was. And then it took me a while to figure out that it was a combination of Eleanor's until really there was the episode, I forget which episode it was, but and she met with the literary agent and they were all talking about how her timeline, you know, how it was like told in different times and all these different stories and all of that. Like that's when I was like, oh yeah, okay, so that's what this show is doing. And I knew that the music part was about him, but then when we get to the final episode, spoilers, where he's playing his music and is like going through his soundtrack of stuff that he's sung and the people in his life, then it was like, oh yeah, so that's why all the episodes are done this way. However, I was like, again, did you sit there and play all these other people's songs for her or your own? Like, you know, it was just, I don't know. That was me being
Oh,
picky, but
yeah. Like,
it was, annoying where it was like,
are you
yeah.
starting it with Elastic Heart?
Right, exactly.
Or are you
Yeah.
saying it's like Elastic Heart, but this is my song?
Right, which is like not what you want to do in a pitch meeting for music. I mean, it is, it's, yeah, I'm only sort of thinking about this right now as I'm saying it, but I feel like it was designed by somebody who's not actually a musician and doesn't know how, you know, because like you can give reference points for things, but you can't just play them, you know, I don't know.
I gotta say, I took anyway, like yes, 9 pages of notes on this, and we are not gonna touch it.
No, we're not gonna get everything.
I because there's a lot of things, and like, okay, it feels like they had a little too much going on at points, because now you have to focus on secondary characters, and there's Annette and Dante who go at it, but then Annette has a daughter whose name that I'm now forgetting. Leah.
Leah, yeah.
Leah. And Leah doesn't get an episode or a song, and it's weird. Because I'm like, you're focusing on everybody else.
Yeah, because Dante gets a few.
Dante gets a couple episodes. Yeah. And even the kid gets one.
Oh, Barry.
Yeah. Barry, thank you. They say his name 7,000 times. You'd think I would remember it.
Yeah.
And that that whole drama of Sam going through CPS, Child Protective Services, and everything is just like drawn out. I mean, I get it. It is a lengthy process, and they are trying to keep the show as grounded as possible for being a musical. But it's like,
yeah,
be a musical, be a fantasy.
Well, yeah, but I think also because of the way that the storytelling happens is the storytelling in the past covers a lot more time and ground than the storytelling in the future. So while the story in the past covers like what? More
five
than a
years.
Year, right?
Like five.
Yeah, well, total, yeah. You got like,
well, no,
the
it's
bulk
gotta,
of
it's
it
gotta
is
be
like,
7 years or something, because isn't Barry like five?
Yeah, but the bulk of the season is
first
couple years of them being together. So it's like,
it's like
covers
3 years,
a few
we'll
years. Yeah. And then the one in the future covers like a few weeks, it feels like, if you actually look at
maybe
it. Like it's
two
what,
months?
A couple of months? If that, yeah. So like, it does make it feel like that one is drawn out when really it's just covering it in more detail, whereas the other one is just blasting through stuff. So I do think that is a weird imbalance a little bit, which has sadly nothing to do with the musical concept. But
as a show, though, you're talking about it now, where
as a show,
did this need to be a musical? Let's be real here.
No.
Did this?
No, it did not. and it also wasn't.
it's weird because it's not really a musical.
It also wasn't.
But it kind of is,
because
like it follows like the basic definition of a musical, where like if you have so much emotion,
right,
you can't.
Well,
just
it's a
talk
jukebox
about it.
Musical. It's a jukebox musical, but they aren't actually doing the singing, but they're lip syncing.
Yeah.
Like, it almost would have been cooler if it was, like, go high concept, make it dance. And to be fair, maybe that's what the concept originally was. I would almost like to think that, where it was like, they have all these soundtrack songs, and then the focus on the music video isn't them lip syncing, but them doing a dance or a music video to it.
But then they cast non-dancers as well as leads.
I know. And, you know, poor Jenna Dewan, she would have, like, shown in something like that. Because can you imagine the dance solos that she would have had later when she was the social worker? Like, oh, my God. So, yeah, that would have actually bothered me less. Because then it's like, cool, this is a dance piece. And that's fun. And
it's
that's,
like Step
like,
Up,
totally.
But better acted.
Well, right. But, you know, and it's also like the stuff that Matthew Bourne does, where it's, I mean, except he doesn't have any dialogue. It's just all music and dance, but they're not singing. They're dancing, you know, and it's like a dance piece with a totally different story created to music. And I think that's cool. And I think that they could have done that, but they did not do that.
It's also fascinating that, like, after Gigi's episode, there's two more episodes and she is gone.
Yeah, she's gone.
But, like, even in the present scenes in like past episodes, they don't talk about her at all.
Yeah, it is weird.
And her last episode is just so filler, but fascinating.
Yeah.
Because all the titles of the episodes are who the characters that we're following, you know, like who's the lead right. of that episode. And hers is both her real name and her nickname.
Yeah.
Which you're like, okay, why did she get a whole episode? Why isn't it like Gigi and Troy or something?
Right. Yeah, well, because obviously they didn't have faith that the gay community could sell the show. When if they had made it more gay, it would have like rocked. That's all I'm saying. If the show is in different gayer hands, just like added a little more glitter to it, I think the concept would have worked a little bit more. So
you just need
that's what it was missing, is there was like, it's a campy concept and they didn't have any camp in it. There were a couple of times where they had a little bit of camp. Like I said, the big time number, that was campy. But like the other times, I wouldn't really call anything that they were doing campy with these musical numbers. For the most part.
I mean, so. There's some mashups in here though that I thoroughly enjoyed, I will say. Besides,
okay,
I Will Always Love You.
Okay.
I did like our first one, really. Sorry Not Sorry and Believer. Like, I know she doesn't look really comfortable doing the lip sync, Nelly, during Sorry Not Sorry, but it was still just like, oh, okay, so this is the concept of the show in the first episode. Great.
Right.
And they definitely did mashups of songs that you're like, oh, I never would have thought to put these two together.
Yeah, and there were some numbers that I liked that I think they got right. In like the Lily Allen moment was a really good use of the concept, I would say.
Which one is the Lily
Allen? The what's the name of the song? It's the You and I Have Come to Our End. I Never Want to See You Again. How could I be any more obvious? Yeah. How could I be any more obvious? It never really happened. And it's never. Wait, what is it? It's never really happened.
Do you remember who does it?
It's going to happen for the two of us. Yeah. It's in like the second episode, I think. It's Eleanor on their terrible second date.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. It's also interesting too, because like there is a mashup that happens of songs, but it's not of stories in the last episode
right.
where they do the two Talking Heads songs, Once in a Lifetime and Psycho Killer. And I'm like, that's that was fascinating too. Like they picked up momentum in the last three episodes or two episodes, and you're like, why did it take you so long? At least other shows, you know, there's always something in the first few episodes that you can forgive it in the first season. But this one, you're like, this is really only a one season show. I don't know what you would do with season two unless you turn it into an anthology, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it was only supposed to be one season.
I will say there is also a Korean version of this. Called Soundtrack Number One. Yes.
Did it come out first?
No. It came out in 2022. And then there's Soundtrack Number Two, which is the second season or series of it.
Okay.
But it looks very different. It also is a musical, but I don't know if they are lip syncing to songs. Part of me wants to just watch it to find out.
I just hope that it's like a bunch of K-pop groups like acting.
And you know what? I would prefer that, because then they know how to perform. Because you hired a whole cast of besides Jenna Dewan, I don't really know anyone here. I mean, I probably would if I like really dug deep into.
I knew a few of them. Yeah, I had recognized a few of them, but yeah, most of them I didn't.
But it's like Jenna Dewan is known as a dancer. Okay, so she knows how to perform. She knows like basic in-person performance as well as on camera, because wasn't she in Step Up or something like that?
I think so.
She was in one of those dance movies. But the rest of the cast is filled with people who aren't performers. And that's also, I think, a big hindrance of the show. Because there are some songs where I'm like, you look so uncomfortable. Like, you're questioning, why are you here?
Yeah.
Nick hated it, everybody. He's questioning our friendship right now, it feels like.
No, I told you. No, yeah, and that's the thing, is like, I wanted to like it. And, you know, I think acknowledging the fact that it's like, you know, there are probably people who liked it.
Do you think soundtrack is a good title for this, or should it be called playlist? Because it feels like we're going through everyone's playlist instead of a soundtrack.
I do think soundtrack is an appropriate name for it, because what they've done is they've taken what songs somebody would use to make the soundtrack of a movie and incorporated them into the action.
Mm.
You know, because like all of those moments could have had those songs underscoring or as transitions in between scenes, you know, like, you know, when you buy any movie soundtrack, you know, that is essentially a playlist. But, you know, I think that worked, because that was sort of the soundtrack to the show.
And like, they picked some really good songs, I will say.
They did. You know, and some of their mashups were better than others, I have thoughts. I think some of them, I think whenever you do a mashup, it should be clever, and it should be like illuminating something about both the story you're trying to tell and the original songs. And I think they did that successfully sometimes. And in other points, it was sort of like, these two songs are together. There was one, like, for example, it was the one, it was a Katy Perry and I don't remember what it was. It was the scene where Eleanor, her mom, like, blindsides her into having a college admissions dinner for her PhD. Unconditionally was her song. And it just, like, that, and then there was another moment, too, where it was just, like, I feel like these are, they were picked because thematically they go together, but they don't go together musically, and they happened to go together okay. You know? It's like, yeah, you made it work, but it wasn't like, these songs are, you know, this is a revelation, you know? It's sort of like,
Or it doesn't, it doesn't feel like as well that they truly mashed them up. It felt like we were going from like one song to another song back and forth and back and forth. It's not like you're using the music of one and the lyrics of another.
Well, right. And they did do, to their credit, they did do a little bit of that with, like, they used the underscoring under one of the melodies. But, like, you know, it was, I don't know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, as you know, mashups are something that I'm irrationally...
both sides now, I should say. But both sides now, it feels like that's just the way to do the song. It didn't feel like anybody reinvented the wheel with it, which is the one that Margot and Frank lip sync to in their episode. That's a Joni Mitchell song. Hooray!
Yeah.
Actually, I misspoke earlier. There is a singer in the cast, and if you didn't pick up on it, I would understand. Christina Milian plays Deandra.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Dante's ex-girlfriend or something, who is also grossly underutilized in a musical show. And you're like,
very much so.
Come on. At least let her be like lip sync coach or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and what's interesting is, like, you know, I can't even say that I, like, went into this expecting to be disappointed, because I didn't. I had no idea. Like, I had not heard of this until you mentioned it. Like, I think I was loosely aware that something like it happened, because people were talking about Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist in contrast to this, like, in the past. But, like, I had no idea really what the show was. And, yeah, it just, like, it sort of almost felt like a group of people were like, we really want to do this idea, but we know that we don't have, and I'm not going to say that they weren't talented, because obviously, like, the actors are good actors. So they're talented performers in that sense. But, like, we don't have the right talent pool to execute this in the way that we want, but we're still going to do it anyway. And here's how we're going to get around it. And I was like, so that's, I think, why, where it's like, you should have just, but maybe it was because they had to be different, because I don't know what the development overlap was with this and, like, Zoe's, because, like, you know, it would have been yet another show on TV where people are, you know, like Glee and all of that stuff. So maybe this was born out of a desire to be different, but.
Well, it's fascinating because Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist actually came out after this. So they were developing at the same time.
Right.
Which, yes, I understand. But, like, this was released on streaming. I mean, I guess Netflix bought it. And then, you know, what was it? NBC or something did Zoe's?
Yeah, Zoe was on network. I forget what network. I think it was NBC, but yeah.
NBC, because it's on Peacock.
Yes. So then it would be NBC. Yes.
Where, I hate to say it, but they got it right. Even though...
Oh, yeah. God, they... Yeah, they got it right.
Even though our lead in Zoe's, Jane Levy, isn't known as a singer, and she doesn't really sing in the show as much as the others, they cast singers. I mean, we can argue about the rest of the cast of that, but, like, you know, when Bernadette Peters showed up in Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, you're like, bow down, we got it.
Well, right, but and that was sort of what was true. Well, Alex Newell,
yes, and Skylar Astin.
And Skylar Astin, you know. So they did that show did a really successful job of casting either people who were really good as singers or people who were able to make sound good enough. You know, like, sort of in the same way that Glee did, where there were definitely some singers who were on Glee that were not as strong singers, but, like, with studio and with, you know, they were good enough actors that, like, they got around it and the performances worked.
And those actors that we're listing are actors who can sing, who have also filmed lip syncing. Like, they're, you know, like, when you go through the process of making a musical movie or TV show or something, obviously, unless you're recording it live on set at the time of
you're
filming
lip syncing
it,
to yourself.
You're lip syncing to yourself. So you need that extra talent, that extra, you know, work put into lip sync. And it felt like a lot of people in soundtrack didn't have that.
And if they had just brought a drag queen on set,
they just, oh my god, go to a drag fucking drag bar.
Coaching.
Just go to how do you go to LA and not go to a drag bar?
And again, that's that, yeah. So that's sort of what I was mystified by, because, like, obviously not all of LA is gay, and, you know, there are people I know that, you know, not everyone in the world is gay as much as that would be nice. But no, we need different shades of everybody. But, like, yeah, it was just sort of, especially in the world of music and the world of art, it was just so, I don't want to say clinical, I don't want to say, like, it just, I don't know, it was like, it wasn't colorful enough, it wasn't like,
I like how we never touched on story. Really,
I know, well, we should get to story. Well, and, you know, to be fair, story is one of the things that I didn't have a problem with. Like, you know, they could have done that show without all of the soundtrack stuff, and, you know, like, it is an interesting enough story, I think, but we can talk about story too. Have we gone way off script?
I don't know,
you
really
have your outlines.
Welcome to podcasting, you know, we have to plan. I plan for everything, but obviously you know, what happens, happens.
Right.
I feel so the story is that, well, we, like we've said, there's a lot of time jumps. It's basically a relate based around the relationship of Sam and Eleanor, Nelly, and how they are from two different worlds. Obviously, race is an issue in this.
Race, there's socioeconomics,
you know, but like also they're both artists and they don't talk about that enough, I feel like, in the show.
I don't know. I feel like they do.
Well, like as, like as a common ground between them.
Right. Right.
Because like we see the horrendous first date, their first two dates, which go horribly wrong, but then they end up fucking because that's what you do.
Right. In the bathroom at the restaurant that he worked at, which I questioned the choice, but hey, what can you do?
And then it involves their parents or parental figures, because Sam's parents are dead, I think, or have.
No, his mom's dead because she had a stroke 6 months after he quit conservatory. I remember that. And his dad wanted nothing to do with him.
So his aunt basically raised him. And the aunt goes through husbands like tissues.
Yeah, they said she'd had four before, I think, right?
Yes. Which made me
I
feel like Leah and Dante are half siblings.
They are. Yeah, they have different dads.
Okay.
Yeah, because Dante, he keeps saying, is half Cuban.
Right.
And there's another son as well, Malik.
Who we never see.
Who we never see, but he's on the family chain.
He's on the family
chain. But he's younger. Yeah, I remember that episode. But he's younger than Dante. Dante is her oldest.
Yeah, so Malik is the middle child. So we're watching Sam and Nellie's relationship evolve and grow and see, like, how it affects their lives and their friends and their families and everything.
While also knowing how it ends.
Yes. Well, how it ends, how the present starts.
Right. Yes.
Because we're in the present, which, by the way, Nick, the present is 2020.
I know.
I think I flipped a table when they revealed that, because I was just like, there's no COVID!
Well, when did this come out? What was the release date? Yeah, okay, yeah. So they said
December,
it in the future.
December 2019. So they said it
right
a year.
For the year that it was going to be in.
Right.
Yeah.
So and then, like, Nellie's parents are so narcissistic, honestly.
Oh yeah,
they fucking suck. And while
go ahead. What's gonna say is interesting is, like, was her mother always that way, you know? Because you do have the episode showing, like, you know, her backstory with him and, like, them having a kid and how she, like, just becomes an actor. So it's like, is that the way that she is, or was she turned that way? Is it a, you know, because they are making a lot of comments about the industries of art, music, and acting in LA.
I think that episode is showing how Annette turned into the monster that she is in the present.
You mean Margot?
Margot's
her mom.
Margot, sorry.
Annette is the aunt. Yeah.
Annette is another monster.
Yeah, no, it is.
To be also. Because I was misremembering things. Because I thought Dante died in this. So, like, when there's that whole argument that she has with him and kicks him out, I'm like, you're gonna regret this because he's gonna die. Granted, I haven't watched this in like 4 years, so
right, Right.
But yeah,
No,
Margot,
he doesn't die.
he doesn't die. He gets hospitalized though.
He gets hospitalized and then he goes back to prison sort of willingly.
Yeah. But like so Margot,
That's in the final episode.
but back to
Yeah, back to
Margot
Margot.
in her episode with Frank, we
Yeah.
see that she gets approached in like the most
In
idealistic
the grocery
way
store.
in the grocery
I know.
store, and then she evolves into like the
Who she
stereotypical
is. Yeah.
actor mother.
Yeah.
You know, not saying
Yeah, basically.
actors who are parents are like this, but it's like the stereotype.
They certainly can be.
I mean, you
Right.
can also make it be any profession, really.
It's true. When you're consumed by your profession and a profession that asks so much of you, it's hard to retain yourself sometimes, which is one of the reasons why I just never, wanted to be famous because I want to keep who I am as a person. But am I going to turn down a paycheck? No. But, so I guess basically what this show is telling us is that we have to go and hang around grocery stores and bodegas in LA because
In the
that's how you get
60s.
discovered in the 60s.
No, wait,
Yeah.
no, not the 60s. I'm sorry, in the 80s. What am I doing?
Oh, yeah, no, it was 87, right?
Yeah, something like
I
that.
think they said that that episode was.
But it was,
Yeah.
but the music, her music is of the 60s.
Yes,
That's where my
because that
mistake
would have
was.
been what was popular
For her,
for
yeah,
her,
growing up and everything. But yeah, everything you're saying, I mean, I didn't really see it that way, but now that you're saying it, I agree, where it's like it take the music if you take the music out, does it work as a show? And I feel like yes, because it already doesn't rely on it heavily.
And it would need some tweaks
Well, sorry,
because the format does use those. But
if you
yeah, the
take the
story
lip sync
works on its own.
out.
Yes. Yeah.
But like if you do keep the music as background music or something, it'll
Yeah.
work. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No, let's do that. I'm sure there's going to be more that happens.
Oh, trust me. I'm looking at my list and I'm like, we're going to talk some more. All
Yes.
right,
Oh,
let's
good. Okay.
do it.
Sharp flat.
So, in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it, I thought it could change, it's flat. However, I want to start with my natural because we didn't really talk about it, but we circled around it. And I am naturaling the rules of the musical, like the of this musical. So in like Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, it's in her mind, right? And they set a rule up, depending on how emotional the person is, it'll be how many people around them are also dancing and everything, or lip syncing and whatnot. But in this one, they don't set up that rule. So there's
Right.
always an influx of background dancers or who gets a song when and everything. Some
Yeah.
are fantasy, some feel like they're dialogue. So it's like the rules are just not there. And I didn't want to flat it because it
It's
sometimes
just a
works.
choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a choice.
So what do you want to start with? Sharps or flats? Well, what do you want to continue, I should say?
I don't know. Let's do sharps.
Okay. I sharped the duets and medleys both in song and book scenes. I don't remember why I wrote
Okay.
that. Oh, because the way that they structure the show, you know, it'd be like Sam, Nellie. Say, you know, we get title cards and then it would be like
Yeah.
mashup or duet or medley or whatever. And you know, it was always fun to have them clash together.
Yeah.
The Love is a Losing Game date sequence, which happens in episode one where Nelly goes on really bad dates, but I sharped it because of like the camera work, and it seems like one continuous shot and everything, and she's just spinning around and she's doing pulling a layer off.
That one worked.
I also sharped how everyone's an artist. You know, in a art heavy show, we're seeing them strive for success. Like really only one of the people in this whole cast or this whole characters is successful as an artist, and that's Margot. The others are not there yet. So I have a lot of sharps, apparently.
That's okay.
I also sharped Nelly's monologue about how other people's expectations shouldn't damper your wants and dreams. This is after she tried to explain her book to her friends. And then obviously that affected her and changed. And then looking back, she's like, oh, well, shouldn't have done that. I sharped the dinner scene in episode 4. Oh, that is Frank losing his shit.
You mean the family dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also sharped Jenna Dewan. Grossly underutilized, still sharped her. And then I sharped the following mashups just because it's like, never thought of this. I want them. Sorry Not Sorry and Believer. Both Sides Now, the three different versions of it. I think it's three different versions. I couldn't confirm or deny this. So if somebody knows, please get in touch. I Honestly Love You, obviously. And then Once in a Lifetime and Psycho Killer. As a mashup, I'm saying, not as what's in the show. You know,
right? Okay. Just on musical merit alone.
What about you? What are your sharps?
I sharp the. At first, I wasn't sure how I was gonna feel about the whole giving us spoon feeding us the title cards of who, like whose story we're talking about. But I do think it was helpful. It was a helpful device because of the time jumping and the fact that a lot of these actors didn't look all that much different. So that helped. But what I did like about it was that they did a good job of telling a story from multiple points of view that could have been told like in third person, you know, or like, because they could have just told the whole story chronologically. You know, from a neutral standpoint. But when they picked certain moments to be told from certain people's points of view, I thought that that was effective and a good way of giving us the point of view, just like an artist does, because every artist has a point of view in their work. You know, whether, and some people have an aggressive point of view, some people don't. It's just everybody has a point of view because that's how you see the world. So, like, you know, Margot had the thing where she was saying, you know, it was the second to last episode, I think, that one with the moms. And she was like, I'm the villain in this story, you know, but, and she's like, and, you know, they have the back and forth about that thing where it's like, a lot of this stuff is about perspective. And when you get into like family dramas, the same events can be viewed very differently when they're viewed from different vantage points. To their credit, they didn't go back and like tell the same story points from different points of views, which is a fun thing to do. Like there was the show, The After Party, which does that really well, which isn't a musical, so we can't talk about it.
There is one episode and I've done it already.
Is one episode that's, yes. No, it's okay. Yeah, so I think that that worked really well. And they did a really good job of choosing which moments to tell from each person's point of view so that we as an audience got an honest overview of everything. And, you know, like you don't necessarily, it's not set up to side with one person or the other.
I have a question that I just thought of.
Yes.
So Sam is telling this story?
In theory, yes, he's telling the story.
Then how did he know about Gigi and Jean's episode? If she's gone.
Yeah.
Again, how dare. Anyway, any other sharps?
True. It's true. Well, I mean, some of mine were the ones that you mentioned, like the use, it was underused, but like the dance talent, and like Jenna Dewan's dancing was really good.
I still see you questioning our friendship right now after the
No, I'm not questioning. I'm just questioning if I have anything. I'm trying to
Nice.
think if there's any good sound bites for today's episode. Yeah. I guess I just didn't have that many sharps about it.
Okay.
I like Polly. I want to sharp that character, that actress, because and I
Hold on, let
thought
me find.
she was an effective foil.
Or was she? I mean, she actually served a purpose at points.
Yeah. No, she was sorry, not ineffective. She was an effective foil for the stuff that was going on. And easily somebody who could be not likable but was actually, likable in a sense. And I thought also that the show did a really good job of showing the nuances and difficulties of DCFS and all of that stuff. It's not something that I have firsthand personal experience with from my own life, but I do have friends, social workers and different people who work in that space. And it's a tough situation. It's a tough job. People can be,
Yeah.
it's like showing the fact that there are people who really are trying their best and in a vacuum would be a fantastic parent. But like an environment, like an environment where there's a gun under the bed is not a safe place for a child.
I just wanted to put a name to Polly. It's Amy Irving.
Okay.
People may know her as Sue Snell from Carrie. I mean, she's got a healthy career as well. Anyway. Yes, with DCFS as well, because like it is a process, it's gross and ugly and obvious. And Joanna, played by Jenna Dewan, we follow her and she's trying to help, but also there's that whole sequence where she starts her day and it's getting yelled at or
All the voice messages,
the voice
yeah.
messages and the clients where they're crying or yelling or whatever, and it's like, I'm sorry, this is my job, but like it's also the law. So
Right,
I know
yeah.
you see me as the villain, but I am not the villain. I'm just
Right.
doing my job. Shall we go to flats?
Sure.
Okay. For me,
Yeah.
my first flat is that these mashups don't exist in real life. So, Sir Nicholas. I think I'm
Yeah.
gonna have to challenge you to do something about that.
Perhaps.
But better. I also want to flat the following characters. Levi, he can fuck off, which is Nellie's ex-boyfriend who, yeah.
Oh,
Jake,
yeah.
Sam's boss, is an asshole and a racist.
Oh, God, he's awful.
Margot Weston, I'd flatted her because she's a terrible mother in person and very vapid. And Frank for being an agent of chaos, asshole, liar, and a dick. I honest,
Yeah.
that's what I wrote down. Because like the dinner scene, although it was great and he is an agent of chaos in it, he's being a fucking asshole. Like that
Yeah.
whole, oh, this, I own half of this. Let me destroy my half. Like, why did he destroy half of everything? Let's take it and sell it. Anyway,
Right.
how, I also flatted how Nellie puts her mom first. I understand, but like, you gotta live your life now,
Yeah.
That whole thing too with the two of them, where it's like, thank you for your honesty, thank you for hearing me. It's like, no, that is a cult, or that is like gaslighting in a way, or bad parenting.
What it is it's something that feels like it thinks that it's good parenting.
I also flatted, this is a note for the set deck or props or whatever. The bad pictures, they were so bad. You clearly like just took a picture and then printed it out and like on on a printer, not on a photo printer. Mm-hmm. Stuck it to a wall half the time. I also flatted not crediting the artists. And yep. Another flat is for dubbing Barry in episode 6. Like, ADR is never a good thing. I know it's needed sometimes, but like, when it's bad, it's bad.
Yeah.
I also flatted the show doing fantasy in reality, which is, again, part of the rules that we don't establish. Yeah. When, you know, it's like, when are we in fantasy? When are we in reality? Let us know.
Right.
Then my last flat is very specific, as the others were. It's for Gigi's shirt dress in episode 7. In her episode, it keeps riding up to the point where she's covering herself. And this is on film. Like, if it was on stage, that's one thing. And hopefully you could fix it for the next performance or something. But this is on film. You could replace it. Fix it. That's it. What about you? What are
I agree. My flats. I want to flat the baby grand piano in the Vrbo that they rent for being out of tune, because two reasons. One, just flatting it in general, because what a sad waste of a piano to do that. But two, a house that was that nice, that was a rental in the LA area, that boasted having a piano, would not be out of tune. Because they would specifically be trying to attract musicians and people to record there. So I get why they did it, but I don't think in reality that would happen.
Yeah.
They also made a joke about it not having a CD player, and then they looked at the keyboard and said, oh, it does. Show me that. I want to see that. What is that CD like? Are, you know, how does that work? Is there a CD player built into the piano? Where does it go? That's not how pianos work. Is it electric? If it was electric, it wouldn't be out of tune. Tell me things. So I had issues with that moment. I had some issues with some of the writing, because it's, you know, and it's not unique to this show, but like the whole gun in the apartment thing with Barry. I mean, I guess that can happen, but sometimes it felt like the show was creating obstacles just to create obstacles.
Yeah.
So that I was not that big of a fan of.
Because they're like, oh, we now need drama and to fold in Jenna Dewan somehow.
Right. I also kind of want to flat the graphic novel that she works on, because the description that everybody has about it, it's like, I don't think that it was eye-catching enough. Like, I think you could have spent more time developing the actual art. Like, I mean, we didn't see a ton of it, I suppose, but, and that I'm sure was by design, but like, why wasn't the chameleon like cooler? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like all art has to be a certain way, but it just was like, I don't understand. Like, from what I saw of the images, I was having a hard time understanding why everybody was saying it was so good.
And that publisher obviously have never heard of Marvel or DC Comics, because when they're like, oh, this other person put it out and it's about her struggle and everything, but it's a different ethnicity,
right.
It's like, have you never heard of like Captain Marvel in either universe?
I mean, the thing, yes, but I think also, because it wasn't a, to me, it didn't seem like a comics publisher. It was like a literary publisher who publish graphic novels. But like that kind of stuff does go on, where it's like, oh, this is too similar. It's not going to sell, so we're not going to buy it. You know, but in reality, what you do is you keep pitching it until you find somebody who will take it.
Right.
Because somebody will print it. But like, if that person was repping only those major, you know, like the big five publishers, then, you know, that like you do get no's like that. And the question is, well, do you then work with the agent who has faith in you, or do you,
which,
you know,
puts the question, the like passion that Nelly has, like, is it real?
Yeah, because they do a lot of talking about passion and how it's like when you sleep, is it what you see behind your eyes? And it's like, I don't know. But Flats, let me see what else was there. I just flat the whole mom ignoring half of her culture thing.
Margo.
I get what they were doing. Yeah, I get what they were doing with that, but like, so I'm just gonna flat that. Not like as a writing choice, but just personally. I'll flat the quote big reveal at the end of episode one
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one.
because also it wasn't a big reveal because at that point it's like, I don't know, I'm sorry, you've either figured it out or not, and doing a big reveal moment is like, I don't know, I think they could
Also,
have done it in a different way,
do we care?
right?
Like,
I don't know.
why should I care about this?
Right. But also, how does Jenna Dewan's character, I guess you don't remember every fortune.
She does have a moment where she's like, I'm having deja vu right now, or something like that.
Yeah, but she doesn't remember it. So, which was that was a cute touch.
You think that's it for your
Maybe I'll
flats?
think of more. I think that's it for my thoughts at the moment.
And then you'll text me at 3 a.m. being like, flat everything else in
Yeah,
the
probably.
show. So this is a weird question. I always ask this question at the end, but it's really weird for this episode. I always ask, would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? But like, I don't know. These are,
These
it's
are
a
already
weird.
regular songs.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, when, so have you ever seen the film Pennies from Heaven?
No.
So it's a similar concept where they are lip syncing songs, the actors,
Okay.
but it's more musical than this.
Okay.
Where, like, the songs are put into place for moments. And, I think we pick songs and everything, but these songs, I don't know. So my question is, would you listen to this playlist?
I think it's just too eclectic
I
for
mean,
me.
yeah,
I
but like
mean, I could.
there's.
It's got good songs on it. It's got songs I like. Some of the songs are already on my life's playlist.
Right. Like, I've listened to Elastikart so many times, even though I'm still not sure if Sia's still canceled or not.
I don't know. Yeah, and Both Sides Now, and I Will Always Love You, and Lily Allen, all of these are
Right.
sort of
Unconditionally,
on my playlist
Mercy.
already. Yeah, Mercy. Yeah, that was the other one. Yeah, that was a, yeah, anyway, that mashup
I feel
I
like
had some thoughts about.
I would listen to this playlist, but there'll definitely be skips depending on the day.
Yes.
And
I agree.
on that note, Nick, we are done with the episode. We did it. We did
Are
soundtrack.
we? We did do soundtrack. Is there anything else that we want to talk about it? I'm trying to think.
Well, we're
I don't, I mean,
done.
just like Margot, I'm the villain of this episode. Because I didn't like because it was not my favorite thing.
And that's okay. You know what? That's okay.
And yeah,
And
everybody does need a villain sometimes.
well, you don't have to like
But
everything.
no, I just wish that they had more gay people involved in the show. I think it could have been
Or like a more
straight
fleshed
people
out
are talented,
concept.
gay people are talented. Just a different, I think a different aesthetic, because again, the concept could have worked if it was just in slightly different, just tweaked slightly, almost there. And then also if they had started up front with something as clever as the I Will Always Love You, because again, that's not, and that's a perfect thing of like, that's not the most clever thing in the world. It's not the most clever mashup in the world, but it
No.
was for the moment, for the story, for the two different people who represented like Whitney and Dolly, both in their race and their time in their life and the emotional stuff they were going through. And the emotional depth. Like that was a perfect synthesis of like, yes, this is it. This is why you're doing it. This is how this works.
And it's
So if they had just
more.
gone from there and built up, then sure.
And it was more motherly love than sexual
Right.
love.
Exactly. And that was like that, like what I said, like I think a mashup should illuminate something about the moment you're telling, and the original song. You know, and that was definitely an illumination of the song, where it was like, it's about love. It's not about, you know, sexual or romantic love necessarily. Yes, it can be. Yes, it may be. But obviously, it doesn't have to be. So,
that's so good, though.
It was, yeah, I love
like
that.
Like, we moment. Had to go wade through 9 episodes in order to get
I know, Jesus.
That moment of brilliance.
Yeah.
But, Nick, what do you have to plug or promote?
I was just in Chicago working on a new musical I've been composing and working with a playwright friend who's the book and lyrics writer. He lives out in Chicago, and it's an adaptation of the webcomic Cute to Q. If you're familiar with it, which is about theater tech people, stage manager, director, you know, props designer, like that, like the main cast is just all of the tech side. And it went well. Yeah, we just did a table read, still have a few more songs to write, but it's going well. And, you know, no socials for it yet, but it was definitely an encouraging reception.
Tell them to claim socials. Unless
yes,
haven't done it already.
No, yeah.
Will you be posting things on like your personal when they come to fruition?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Another...
Yeah, when we're at that point. I mean, but you know, this is, you're catching this musical very early in its process, and that it's, you know, it's not even yet at the point where we'd be having like pitching it to theaters yet, or, you know, production companies, because it's we did an invited audience of Chicago theater people, but yeah, we need to finish the
I'm waiting for the 54 below version of it.
It's so prop heavy, I don't know if it ever would. it's a technical challenge, because it's a love letter to technical theater people.
If you liked Soundtrack and you want to talk more about it, you can email me at buttasongpod@gmail.com, us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads @buttasongpod. Tell me what you thought of the mashups. What is your pitch for season 2? I mean, I think, honestly, it should have been an anthology series, because this story is done, you know? And then they could do another season of, like, another story. Another soundtrack. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're done with John's picks, unfortunately, for now. And we will be talking about the 2018 filmed stage version of The Wind in the Willows. Nick, thank you so much for having me force you to come on and talk about this.
You're welcome.
Everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork, and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast, and thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.